Consequence Podcast Network.
Borahe, Iconic Army.
Borahe.
All right. If you are listening to this on the day that the episode comes out, Jin's album Echo is releasing tomorrow, May 16th. We are so excited. We're going to talk a little bit here about the highlight medley, just to talk a little bit about Echo. Just so you know, a little bit of our schedule this week. Obviously, we're going to be talking about Stop the Rain, but we'll have an episode next week right after that to cover Echo and do our album review. Kayla and I were just talking about how much whiplash that's going to be.
Between these two themes.
Yeah, like talking about Stop the Rain and then talking about Echo.
Right. But we're bringing you the album review as soon as possible, you guys.
Yes, we are. And then the week after that, we're going to have our Iconic Hangout the day after Memorial Day. So we normally have Iconic Hangouts on Mondays, but this coming week or these coming weeks, we're going to have it on Tuesday, May 27th at 7 p.m. So that's the day after Memorial Day. Mm-hmm. And for this Iconic Hangout, we're going to have a shortened and condensed version of Jeopardy. We're going to do Jen Jeopardy because, of course, Echo. We're going to have to celebrate Jen a little bit. So we're just going to have less questions to keep it timely and keep it within that hour time frame because we know you all are busy. So Jeopardy tends to go a little bit longer. So we're going to make it a little bit more, I don't know, in a condensed time. So.
Yeah, but it'll still be super fun.
Tons of fun. Lots of great questions for you all. But before we get into today's episode, we want to talk a little bit about Jin's highlight medley that came out for Echo. We, in our last episode, talked a lot about how we were looking forward to this medley. So let's go through some of these little snippets of these songs that we've gotten to hear so far. So Don't Say You Love Me is the first track on the album. And this sounded like any other song on Happy. It sounds like it could be on Happy.
Yeah.
So we're thinking maybe there's some continuity going in from Happy into Echo. I just feel like Don't Say You Love Me so far, it's giving a little bit of like I'll Be There and Running Wild. I hear a lot of that in the song.
And you guys, by the way, might be already listening to the album as this episode, like maybe you didn't listen to the episode before the album came out. So tell us how right or wrong we are about our predictions
just from
this highlight medley. Literally, like, one of the first things I heard this morning was, like, a reaction to this highlight medley on TikTok, and I had to go and listen to the whole thing myself. Yeah. So, we'll see. We'll see what the album has for us, but I do have to say, track two, Nothing Without Your Love, to me, immediately, I was like, this sounds like B-roll music. This sounds like royalty-free music that someone is putting in the back of their YouTube video so they don't get, like, copywritten.
Yeah, it just sounds a little familiar. For me, it sounded like the intro music to The Sims game.
And you're not wrong about that.
Like when you listen to it, at least with this medley, when you go and listen to it, it sounds like you are in The Sims game trying to pick which
community you're going to live in.
Yeah.
100%. And like, bear in mind, okay, we're going off of 20-second clips of the song and they're probably stripped down. There's no lyrics, you know, obviously. But yeah, this was just like, I was like, this is pretty generic sounding here. Like, what is this going to be? We'll have to wait and see.
Right.
Yeah.
But the song after that has a lot more, I think, originality to it. So the next song is Loser. And I feel like I can get behind this song. It's giving a little bit more like alternative punk. Kind of suspected that just with the title Loser, a little angsty, maybe some surfer sound to it too. Even in the graphic that you see in the medley, it looks like there's like a little surfboard on this like neon light. I also felt like it sounded a little like Appetit, which is Bruno Mars and Rosé. So I could see a little bit of that, a little bit of that alt punk surfer rock kind of sound.
Yeah, I love that. Rope It, the next song, is country.
Can't believe it.
Oh my God. On the last episode, we were joking and theorizing just from the title, like, what could this song be? Like, what are we roping? Some cattle, you know? And we laughed. I feel like we laughed so hard in my memory about like the concept of it being country, because the last thing that we would ever think BTS is going to do is country music.
I guess they do everything.
They kind of like touched the genre stylistically with all the tassels and permission to dance. But like, that was as far as we thought it was going to go.
Yeah.
This was the first thing I heard at like 5 a.m. this morning was like somebody reacting to this song. They were like, Kim Seokjin is really doing country music. Like country it is music, full on banjo, like country. So I cannot believe we were right about this when we were just joking. I kind of wish we weren't, but like, we will see. Like, how is he going to pull off country music?
I mean, he might be able to do it.
Jin can do anything. So I'm not, I don't doubt that. It's, it was just like, oh my God, I can't believe it's actually
at
country.
Least it's something new. Like, it'll be new. Yeah. That's true. We have that to look forward to. I'm curious. I'm for sure curious.
That's originality in K-pop is country music. American country Western. Yeah.
The song after that is Journey to the Clouds, and this song genuinely, it sounds nice. We like the high-pitched sample that's in the background. It seems very BTS to me. It's giving Waylon 52. Mm-hmm. I just feel a lot of BTS and the sound that we hear in this so far. So I'm feeling a little bit of nostalgia when I hear this.
I thought this one sounded really nice too. I think that I'll really like it.
Yeah, Journey to the Clouds. I think I'll like it too.
The second to last one, Background, I feel like this is the ballad of the album. Jin's got to have a good ballad. Mm-hmm. And, you know, maybe the ballad will come out in the first couple songs with like those love themes. But this one, just from the instrumental, feels like it's going to have a lot of like that build. It's really like a classic rock with maybe a hint of country. Like maybe they're looping that back in from Rope It with like the electric guitar whammy bar that's kind of going. Mm-hmm. Like I'm envisioning mullet. I'm envisioning like bandana tied across your forehead, know, taking a kneel on the stage and ripping that guitar.
I see it.
I really enjoy the sound of this so far. I'm a sucker for a ballad, so we'll see.
Me too.
Yeah.
Love Jin in a ballad. Okay, and then the last song is To the Me of Today. This has a much more sentimental sound to it. It really sounds like it's going to wrap up the album. A very classic Jin song. It's going to be the beautiful bow tie. Just the song title itself, To the Me of Today, sounds like a journal entry to himself.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I think it'll be a very diverse album.
I think so too, in 7 songs.
Yeah, like the amount of genres we have going on here is quite a bit. Like we have a BTS sounding song, country, alt punk, Sims, you know. Like I think it'll be interesting, I suppose. Like I'm kind of looking forward to the diversity in it. I
Me
feel
too.
Like Happy had a lot of cohesiveness.
Yeah.
So we'll kind of see how this all pieces together.
Truly, I thought with the highlight medley, I'd have a really good idea of like what was coming with the album. And now I just don't even know what to expect.
Yeah.
Just with these little snippets, I'm like, how is this all going to build out and work together? I'm excited for it. I can't wait to listen.
Yeah.
Potentially, you've already listened. If you're listening to this podcast, the album's already come out, maybe. Let us know. Give us feedback.
All I keep picturing is Jin on his like Texas leg of his tour performing Rope It. Like I just, that's all I'm getting now. All I'm envisioning.
With a cowboy hat.
I bet.
Yeah. Like with a rope. Night too. And a rope. Oh my God. Rope
what if
choreography.
He's on a mechanical bull. Okay.
He would do that. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, what if it is like a fun loving song, kind of not quite as extreme as Super Tuna, but you know.
Right. I mean, we'll see.
We'll see. Maybe it's a serious country song. I think
we'll like it. But we'll just you know, if you can't tell, we don't listen to country music very often.
It's not really our
jam.
Yeah.
Yeah. But, you know, if it's Jin, maybe we'll love it.
Yeah.
Also, total side note. But did you see that Tom Cruise is going to be on Run Jin?
No.
To like promote like probably the latest Mission Impossible movie or something. He is going to be on freaking Run Jin.
No, he's not.
Yes, he is.
Tom Cruise and Jin are going to be on a variety show together. All right.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah.
Yeah. Unless I've been fake newsed all day, but I saw it in so many different sources.
Oh, I see. I haven't been online today.
Like,
at
what
all,
the fuck?
Hardly at all. So,
anyways,
okay.
Lots of things going on with Jin. Like Bethany said at the top of this, we are here to talk about RM and Tableau's Stop the Rain today, which is going to be a total vibe shift. So, we'll get into it here right after this.
My number one album, big shocker to me, also Folklore.
Whoa.
Are you ready to dive into all things Taylor Swift?
Good for a Weekend is the ultimate podcast for any Swiftie.
With new episodes dropping bi-monthly, as well as bonus episodes to give you real-time reactions to the latest rumors and news, it's your one-stop shop for all things T-Swift.
We also love connecting with our fellow Weekenders. So be sure to connect with us on Instagram, Twitter, and or Discord to share all your Taylor thoughts.
Good for a Weekend is available wherever you get your podcasts.
I know. Lamar just is that. Like, it's a perfect album.
Now at Verizon, we're locking in low prices for 3 years guaranteed on my plan. And you can get a single line for just $45 a month when you switch and bring your phone. That's our best price ever on unlimited welcome with autopay plus taxes and fees guaranteed for 3 years. Because at Verizon, we got you. Visit your local Indianapolis Verizon store today. $20 monthly promo credits apply over 36 months with a new line on unlimited welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Price guarantee applies to then current base monthly rate. Additional terms and conditions apply.
Welcome back. We're your hosts. I'm Kayla.
And I'm Bethany, and this is Standing BTS,
your favorite informative fangirl podcast.
All right, today we're going to hang out for about an hour, and we are talking all about Stop the Rain. We're going to get into some background information on the song, just the collaboration between Tableau and RM, and then we're going to get more into the lyrics and the music video and all of that was released with the song.
Yeah, we really got a good deep dive with this. I'm super excited to get into it. Mm-hmm. Before we do, we want to say thanks, Iconics, for being here, for listening, and for all of your support. If you'd like to give us some extra support, you can join us on Patreon. You can get those sound checks, those episode docs, and of course, the Iconic Hangouts, like we're going to play Jeopardy Gin, on Tuesday the 27th. It's always so much fun. So join our Patreon and get into those Iconic Hangouts. You can do that at patreon.com/standingBTS.
Yes. Thank you all for being here, for your support, and of course, for listening.
Okay. Before we get into it, we do want to give a trigger warning for this episode, because much of the topics that we're going to discuss, especially when we get into the lyrics, it's not so much until then, but when we get into the lyrics, we will talk a lot about depression, abuse, and suicide. So just let you know that if that's not something that you want to hear, maybe skip this episode, or maybe, you know, listen up to it for the background info until we get into the lyrics discussion. And then, we're okay if you move on from there, because I think it is some really heavy topics that we're going to talk about today.
Yeah.
All right. So let's get into a little bit of background info for Stop the Rain. So this came out on Friday, May 2nd, after a purposefully small amount of promotion. We kind of touched on last week's episode that Tableau in his TikTok said, like, I'm not promoting this a lot because this is a very sentimental, intimate type of song that deals with lots of heavy topics. So it's going to be out there if you want to listen to it, but I'm not doing a ton of promo around it. Him and RM recorded this before RM went into the military. And then one day RM texted him like, hey, where's that song? Like, let's put it out. So after a little bit of back and forth, they decided to put it out, and here we are.
Yeah, really not much promotion going around it, but interesting to see that RM was the one to be really pushing, like, hey, where is it? And so Tableau finally was like, okay, let's put it out.
Yeah.
So if you aren't too familiar with Tableau or Epic High, they do have several songs that feature themes of rain or metaphorical references to it. And so does RM. We know that RM has a lot of music that's involved in rain. So they really collaborated saying, hey, we have these themes in common, you know, that we talk about rain a lot. Let's go ahead and make a song about that. I am not too familiar with Epic High's discography, but just from some of the research we've done, here are some notable tracks that Epic High and Tableau talk about or mention metaphorical references of rain. Mm-hmm. So they have a song called Umbrella, and this song uses imagery of an umbrella and rain to convey feelings of protection and emotional experiences. They have a song called Rain Song, which is a track that directly addresses rain, exploring themes of longing and melancholy and nostalgia. They also have a song called Adios that's not explicitly about rain, but it includes weather-related imagery that evokes a lot of sense of sadness and reflection. And then they have a song called Let It Rain, which shows like rain being a cleansing force, symbolizing a lot of release of pain and like emotional baggage. And then there's Rain Again Tomorrow. There's also a song called Lullaby for Cat, which is about loneliness and melancholy. But the reason I'm mentioning Lullaby for Cat, or Lullaby for a Cat, is that he ended up doing like a, or Epic High ended up doing like a 24-hour live stream. Mm-hmm. And in that live stream, they showed that picture of what we see in the music video for Stop the Rain, which is the little boy in his room. Mm-hmm. And it's kind of his safe place. He has a cat there with him. And there's a bunch of Epic High references in the room. And so I just find it kind of interesting that Lullaby for a Cat, while it's not explicitly about rain, I find it interesting that he uses that picture of the little boy. And yeah, honestly, the lyrics of Lullaby for a Cat, we looked at it just briefly. And there's in the lyrics, he says, like, the rain tap dancing on my window pane. Whoever said no pain, no gain doesn't know pain mm-hmm. intimately like I do.
Yeah.
And those are the lyrics in the song, which really resonates, I think, with what they talk about in Stop the Rain.
I think so, too. I love even that next lyric, as infinitively as I do, mm-hmm. like that it is just endless and all consuming. In his life, it really struck me too, and I found it so interesting as you read through kind of these different songs that Epic High has that theme and reference rain, how similarly RM has also talked about and used rain in his music. Mm-hmm. And obviously, as we've talked through some of his songs that reference rain, we've talked about kind of like that melancholiness, that nostalgia, but also the healing power of rain and how it can help wash away and renew.
Yeah.
So just a few songs of RM's, we're all familiar, but just to recap some of them that really use rain as a significant metaphor. Obviously, Forever Rain, where it conveys the themes of loneliness and exhaustion and like the need for comfort through the cleansing feeling of rain. Some of the lyrics he references there is, I wish it rains all day because I'd like someone to cry for me. He also says, raindrop, I'm feeling like a lonely raindrop. Mm. So, you know, like wanting the world to cry for you and for the world, the physical world itself, to understand the pain that you're feeling through that. Yeah. Forever Rain. Obviously, we always think about that imagery of him, like the animated music video where he's like walking with an umbrella through like these, you know, crowds, but he's the most lonely person in the world, you know, kind of shrouded by that rain. In the song Soul, it carries a melancholic atmosphere of rain. It's more of that lo-fi sound. It's not specifically all about rain either, but he does say the city is full of people, but it's a lonely town. And when the rain falls, I think of you. So just again, like bringing the feelings of nostalgia and memory. Mm-hmm. In his song Everything Goes, that song talks about life's impermanence and being able to let things go. We've talked about that song is really a mantra for trying to help yourself let things go and like be okay with how things are in your current state of being. One of the lyrics that he says is, the wind that blows, the rain that falls, everything goes. So kind of like that washing and that cleansing. And then really interesting to look all the way back at BTS's first song, No More Dream, where young RM talked about his dreams changing like the weather changes, saying, I don't want to live like this. It's pouring down, raining on me. So even a symbol and a reference from all of those years ago, that rain has been a theme in his lyrics this entire time. So it's very fitting, like Bethany said, that Tablo and RM were able to come together with rain as this main theme for both of them.
Yeah, like it seems so obvious. I mean, we've listed, I mean, at least 8 songs here, and right. certainly there are more songs that they both have worked on that mention rain.
Right.
So I think it's like they really thought about this, and it's clear that these two have a lot of connection to using rain mm-hmm. in their music. So yeah. All right, let's talk a little bit about this music video. I feel like this music video was very important to Tablo, especially because he ended up doing a short little commentary on Twitter talking about some of the background information and the meaning behind the music video. So about a year ago, Epic High did a 24-hour live stream called Mongsaeng Lo-Fi, like I was mentioning earlier, and it has that same scene of the boy in his room that we see in Stop the Rain. And Tablo said that this is his inner child. The boy is his inner child. In the room around him is a very safe space that he has created in his mind. And every item in that room references a song or album or some symbolism with Epic High, which mm-hmm. Epic High is very much Tablo's safe place. That right. is where he got to express himself and truly be himself.
Yeah, and I think that's a beautiful way to represent it, like being surrounded by all these different things that symbolize their albums, their songs, their pieces of work, and that's creating and building that safe space around him. Right. In the music video, we see the inner child leave the safety and comfort of the world, of the room that he loves, that he's created here. He falls out of his room into a hard abyss. As he falls, there's rain pouring around him. And there's one part where he has like angel wings, and those kind of disintegrate and fall off of him too as he's falling. Mm-hmm. So very powerful imagery here, especially with the background knowledge that this is like his safe space of his inner child that mm-hmm. he's leaving. It's as if when he's performing the song or writing the lyrics of this song, it's pulling him out of that safe space. It's yeah. making him face that abyss that these, you know, these feelings and these difficult topics bring.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Let's get into the song itself. A little bit of production and vibe talk first before we dive into the lyrics. So this song has a really small team working on it, written by Tableau, RM, Will Long, and Anthony Watts, with Tableau and RM being credited as the main lyricists. And then everyone on that team produced it besides RM, presumably because he was going into the military. Mm-hmm. The vibe of this song, honestly, it's a very calm, stripped down style of instrumental, which makes sense for the lyrical topic because it really lets the lyrics be in the forefront and mm-hmm. the most attention coming from it. I have to say, the first morning when I listened to this song, right after listening to it, the song that was in my head was One Step Closer by Linkin Park. Mm-hmm. And I couldn't tell you the last time I listened to that song, probably 15 years ago. I had to go back and listen to it. And they are totally different in production style. But as far as like themes and like the emotion, very similar. And then mm-hmm. there's one chord progression in the chorus, like one melody in the chorus that reminds me of the melody in this song's chorus. Mm-hmm. And I just thought, what an interesting connection for my mind to make, especially thinking about the themes and the lyrics of this song, how it does feel like they're kind of one step closer to the edge as they mm-hmm. bridge these topics and talk about them.
Yeah.
So that was very, I don't know, my brain just made that connection.
I think it's a strong connection. And I totally agree. I ended up having to pull up the music video for One Step Closer because I haven't listened to that song in a while. But mm-hmm. of course, the second it started playing, I heard that melody. I was like, absolutely, I can see where this is going. I can see how it brought you here.
Yeah.
Because not only is the melody similar, but also just like the expression. I feel like this, both songs convey these feelings of melancholy and being misunderstood. Like yeah. there's like a strong misunderstanding. Like, I don't know how you can put misunderstanding into a song production, but that's absolutely what you feel. Like
oh, yeah.
when you hear the music and the rapping from Tableau and RM, you feel the I'm misunderstood. And you get that a lot with Linkin Park when you listen to One Step Closer.
I agree.
Yeah.
And the need for being understood. Like yeah. here, I'm giving you these lyrics. I'm telling you my deepest, darkest secrets. Like, so can you please understand me?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Feeling alone, like no one gets you, just so desperately, absolutely wanting someone to free you, understand you from this kind of inner turmoil that's going on.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I think also this song has like a kind of muted but repetitive electric guitar, so that maybe brings us into the little bit of rock realm. It's just like more stripped down. It's one of those rock songs that's very raw.
Yeah.
It and again, very simple drum beat. There's more bass added as we get into the chorus that kind of like hangs out the rest mm-hmm. of the song, building into RM's verse. So yeah. the song does have some build to it there, almost as the inner child boy is falling deeper into the abyss. But yeah, very, very muted, very stripped down. Mm-hmm. And that brings along that like melancholy.
Yeah.
I do feel like in the chorus, there's maybe the tiniest glimmer of hope towards the end in the feeling of like perseverance through the rain and mm-hmm. through the hardship. Very, very small amount. Like this song overall, I would not say is like a hopeful song. Doesn't feel that way.
No,
but yeah. it has like this glimmer of like someone's going to understand me.
Yeah.
Someone or maybe they have felt the same way and can feel connection through this music.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I think the lyrics of the chorus also support that too, of just saying like, I'm trying to stop the rain.
Yeah, right? I'm trying to stop the rain. Yeah. Right. That's a little bit of the hope
that,
there.
That tiny bit of glimpse of hope.
Yeah. That they're still trying.
Yes.
Right. Let's go ahead and get into the lyrics then. We both have a lot of thoughts on the intro itself, which the intro is really quiet before they dive into Tableau's verse. But I specifically want to talk about the very first line, "Hello, rainy day." I feel like this is a perfect intro for the song. It's like saying, it's personifying the rainy day as an old friend, that old enemy, that depression and that pain from the past that like you're so, so familiar with. Mm-hmm. It's greeting them. You're not unfamiliar with them. You know them very well.
Yeah.
And I thought, what a genius way to like set up this song here.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know them so well. Yeah. Right. Like you aren't scared of this rainy day. It's Mm-mm. not something that like, oh, out of the blue, like,
you don't know how to handle it. Yeah.
Oh, hello, rainy day. Yeah. Right. Then they go on to say their names and they say, "I'm all in with a losing hand." And I felt like we talked about this for like 20 minutes.
Yeah.
Just them saying, "I'm all in with a losing hand." And it's interesting, too, that they have this line and the cover art, too, for the song has two cards on it. And I just found this cover art to be fascinating as well. And them talking about a losing hand. So it just sounds as if like they are being dealt an unfortunate hand in life, but accepting it fully, but also maybe not giving up by like going all in, like
right.
putting it all out there despite the chances of losing being very high. The two cards that you see in the album art is one is a queen of clubs, but it's a female sitting on the ground with an umbrella covering her eyes in the rain, which we think like, oh, it's a queen card, like a queen of clubs. It's a high card.
Pretty high card.
Yeah, it's a pretty high card. So like at least you've got the high card. So it's not like they're super unfortunate circumstances. So I feel like it's a way of Tableau and RM maybe saying like they do have gratitude and fortunate pieces of their life that they're so grateful for. But it's also just that's like that one card that can maybe get them
right
to win. And even then this female is covering her eyes and is still sitting in the rain with an umbrella. But then the other card is what looks like a lot in that animation for the music video where the kid is wearing he's got the wings on him. So on this card, it looks a lot like a fallen angel and like that kid falling from the sky with the wings on his back. And there's so much discussion in the lyrics, especially Tableau's verse, about mentions of Christianity and religion. And so it makes me think of a fallen angel and how that theme with Christianity and religion, especially, they see the fallen angel as someone who has rebelled against God and are considered to be evil and demonic, which very much goes along with Tableau's verse. He exactly talks about feeling as if his teachers, his family all think
right.
that he is like has an evil brain or a wicked brain.
Right.
Yeah.
I just think even though the song and obviously we're about to get into all of their lyrics and the heavy topics, I just felt like already genius.
Mm-hmm.
Like it's a tough song. It's so heavy, but the way that they set up all of the themes and the topics of the song within those two intro lyrics is just, I mean, mind blowing to me.
Right.
I think like what two incredible lyricists that we have here, and so grateful to get this music from them.
Yeah.
So let's get into Tableau's first verse. I have a lot of thoughts of his beginning part. He says, "Teachers call me rebel, parents call me lost, pastors called me devil, had me kneeling at the cross." And in the music video, instead of saying parents called me lost, they had Icarus written first. And so Icarus is like flying too close to the sun. Icarus was crossed out and lost was written. But I just felt like all of these labels put on him at such a young age, it made me wonder, how is this affecting him in adulthood? If from such a young age, all of these people are telling you what you are and they're not good things. Mm-hmm. Rebel, lost, the devil. I feel like this has to contribute to depression and like feeling that lifelong depression because you're just not going to feel good about yourself. It would be so difficult to see yourself as a good and worthy person when all of the people in your life who are closest to you, who are supposed to be loving and taking care of you, are judging you so harshly and telling you that your innate self
right.
is wrong.
Yeah.
Yeah.
These are your potential role models. These are the people guiding you in life, and they're saying these things about you, your teachers, your parents, your pastors. Yeah. And they're all saying such terrible, negative, harsh words mm-hmm. towards a child. I mean, of course, that's going to carry over into adulthood. To yeah. overcome that has to be so, so difficult.
How could you ever unlearn that? Right. You know? Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. I find it interesting in his verse after that, he says, "They told me I was gifted, but to unwrap my mind was wicked." And I feel that this is him acknowledging his parents seeing his talent for music and wanting him to maybe pursue it, but not specifically hip hop, mm-hmm. because Tablo has a strong hip hop connection. That's how we fell into love music and the route he wanted to go, but it's considered evil, or that it was corrupting his wicked mind. You know, it was making his mind wicked.
Right. He mentioned before that it was a religious home, and yeah. how times are different. So maybe things wouldn't be the same now if he were raised now, but right. he wasn't. He was raised back in the 80s and yeah. 90s, and you know.
Yeah, I forgot how old he is, but he's older than us for yeah. sure. So yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. Times were different back mm-hmm. then. Yeah, hip hop was not as accepted as it is now. It was,
definitely yeah, not.
I kind of think back, like, way back during the Beatles time, sorry, like when the Beatles were making music, rock and roll was evil.
Right.
Because everyone listened to Beethoven and classic music. Yeah. He goes on to say later in his verse, he says, "Bloody calves sacrificed in the name of their God. They claimed it was love. Felt like heartbreak to me." Later, they'd say, quote, "Baby, all your scars are to teach you and remind you, you can soar higher." And the mention of a specific body part here, of his calves having blood and scars, it really has us speculating that maybe this disapproval from his teachers, parents, pastors really could have gone to the extent of physical punishment. It really yeah. seems that way, that he was physically abused. And this really messed up justification too of the scars being reminders for him to soar higher and to be closer to God potentially. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It really made me think of that, like American parents who are abusive have like that fucked up line where they'll be beating their child and they'll be like, "I'm doing this because I love you. This hurts me more than it hurts you," you yeah. know, because they're justifying, and they think in some way that type of physical reprimand is going to help instead of incredibly and irreparably damage and them. Harm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I just find that yeah. obviously so backwards, and we know better now, but and then like the next line, the one that you mentioned where it was like, "remind you so that you can soar higher." The soar higher, I think when we both were talking about this, made us think of Epic High and his success and soaring with his bandmates. And it's incredibly ironic that he's soaring higher doing the exact thing that they demonized him for.
Yeah.
And that was where he found his sanctuary mm-hmm. and his safe space yeah. in that area. So yes, he was able to soar higher, but it was almost in like, you know, in spite of the parents and the pastors and the teachers that were demonizing him and bringing him down.
Yeah. You really have to commend him for, despite all of what his family and, you know, his role models, his adults around him, he still went on and did what he was passionate about and destined to do. Like that mention of the line too, of like, "They claimed it was love, but it felt like heartbreak to me," because it truly is what brings him joy in life and what he feels he's meant to do mm-hmm. is make music. And they're like, "No, this is evil.
Yeah.
We're going to physically hurt you."
Right. They claim they're hurting him out of love, but his heart is breaking while that's happening.
Right.
Yeah. It's the worst thing in the world to happen. Yeah. One of the worst things to happen to you.
Absolutely.
He goes on to say that sometimes he wished he got crushed in the womb, turned to dust in the womb. And this is just the first mention of dust, but the thought of like dust gives like the religious themes too, from dust to dust kind of thing. Mm-hmm. And he says, "No wonder I've always hated the adults in the room." And I hate this feeling, but I understand it, of like sometimes wishing you were never born because your life is so bad. Like, why do I have to endure this? Why would they choose to have me if this is how they're going to treat me, you know?
Yeah.
And then him saying, no wonder I've hated all the adults in the room. It's so easy to understand how you could develop a deep distrust of adults and authority being raised this way. Mm-hmm. How you would wish like you were never burdened with being born, but how it would also make you cling to the potential of childlike innocence and like we've been talking about, like his inner child and like that room in his mind that he's created of all of like the safe space around him with Epic High. But just like, I mean, I think my whole life I would never, ever trust authority. Anyone telling me what to do or trying to tell me what's right, what's wrong, what path I should take. I mean, from a young age, he learned that he couldn't.
Yeah.
And I think like, how could you ever unlearn that?
No.
I don't think it would be possible.
I don't think so.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So very heavy verse there, but
yeah, very raw, very honest. He had talked about how this was as if it came out of a personal journal, and that's exactly what this is. There is really not a whole lot to read between the lines. He's being pretty straightforward in how he feels about what he's been through and what he's experienced and sharing that with us. Yeah.
Yeah, I agree. So just getting a little bit into the pre-chorus and the chorus, they say that the rain will fall and tomorrow may not come, but maybe the tears will wash the pain away, and that they're trying to stop the rain. And then the chorus itself, the chorus is the melody that reminds me of One Step Closer by Linkin Park when they say, can't run away from the pain, feel like I'm going insane, bad thoughts filling up my brain. And they just go on, 2 seconds from falling into nothing, I think is a poignant verse that stands out, or a poignant line, because it feels like you're just really right on the brink. Like you could go either way if one more thing happens that's pushing you over the edge. Mm-hmm. We really felt like the pre-chorus and chorus here together acknowledge that the pain of facing the past is inevitable. No matter what you try to do, it's still going to come up. You can't run away from it. Those demon thoughts are going to be swirling inside your mind. And you can't run away from it. There's no way to escape it. You also know what it feels like without the pain too. But you know that it's not a constant, but it feels like it's never ending when you're in it, is kind of what we're getting out of these pre-chorus and chorus too. Yeah. It was the tiniest glimmer of hope. Like, you know what life is without it. You're not in the constant state. Maybe it's because, like, we've only talked about his verse, but for both of them, they're grown adults now. They're maybe further away from, like, at least Tableau himself, further away from, like, that innate childhood pain. Mm-hmm. So he's able to have good days and good times and, you know, live a happy life, but there's still this all-consuming pain and suffering at times.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, let's get into verse 2 with RM.
RM.
So RM, man, goddamn, the first couple lines of his verse, my jaw dropped. So he said, when I was a kid, I was convinced that I was destined for the 27 club. I'm 29, sinking in the bathtub, sipping gin, looking for another club. So if you're not familiar, the 27 club is this club of, it's a really dark club. It's musicians and other artists and creatives that have died by suicide by the age of 27 at the age 27. There's a lot of,
is it always suicide? I think it's just have died.
Sometimes it's not by suicide. Yeah. That's correct. It could be like an overdose or just like poor health
accidental death. Yeah.
But it's surrounding all of these people who have had like mental health issues and have, you know, gone through hardships in their lives before, prior to like being famous. Mm-hmm. So that was like, damn, like we've known that RM has suffered with his mental health, and that's something that like I've really connected with his music on. Mm-hmm. But to hear that straight out of his mouth, that he thought at a time, not even at a time, convinced as a kid that he wouldn't make it past 27, it just really struck me. It's such a young age for a kid to be thinking about death and feeling so destined that you're not meant to keep living.
Absolutely. I mean, I don't think it's a common thought as a child to not only one think about death, but to speculate. You hear about the 27 club and think, I'm destined for that. Like, I'm for sure gonna die when I'm 27. Like, I just can't imagine being that young and having that thought. Going over these lyrics with you, Kayla, I immediately was reminded of the first time I had thought about death. And mm-hmm. I was a kid. I was probably like in second or third grade. But it wasn't to the extent of how I'm destined to die or something of that. It was more of a realization, I'm going to die someday. Yeah. And I feel like death, just as a kid in general, is kind of a hard concept to grasp. You have to reach a certain level of maturity and understanding to be able to understand fully what that means. And so I remember I was just in the car with my friend and her mom, who was driving us over to her house, and I was sitting in the back seat, and I think my eyes must have gone real wide. I must have like looked pale or something. And my friend's mom was like, "Bethany, you good?" Which she's like super chill. She's like a rock mom. She was in a band, you know, and she's like, "You good?" And I'm like, I was just thinking like, I'm going to die someday. Like, I just said this to her, and she's like, think about death. Been there. That. Yeah.
Pretty normal.
Yeah. Pretty normal. But it was just, you know, that's what I think about when I hear these lyrics. And it's sad to hear him be like, "Yeah, as a kid, I thought I was destined to die before I was going to reach 30. But then also to go on to say, I'm 29, sinking in the bathtub looking for another club.
Right, where he's like, maybe 29 might be the year. Yeah. You asked me that question, like, when was the first time I thought about death? And I genuinely can't remember, like, a first time that I realized, like, I'm going to die one day. Mm-hmm. But what it did make me remember is that I was a really big fan of the band Avenged Sevenfold when I was growing up. And they had this drummer named The Rev, and he was my favorite member of the band. Loved him so much. And he used to tell his bandmates and his family and his friends that he wasn't going to live till 30. He wasn't going to live past 30. Mm-hmm. And he died of a drug overdose like a couple months before his 29th birthday. And that was, I remember, like, I was a kid when that happened, like maybe middle school. And that really struck me and stuck mm-hmm. with me. And I remember thinking, maybe I won't live till 30. Like, I couldn't imagine a life past that age. And I just like felt like, I remember even telling my mom, like, "I don't think I'm gonna live past 30 mm-hmm. and my mom was like, "What are you talking about?" You know, like, I think she was worried to hear that, concerned. But I just could not conceptualize. I could imagine and dream about my life up to that point and like the things that I wanted to do, but it was like something about that age, or maybe it was just being affected by that band member's death, that I was just like, I just don't know that I'll mm-hmm. live past 30. And now in 2 days I'm turning 30, and I'm very grateful to be here and to have made through everything that I've gone through. Mm-hmm. It's just kind of a wild time for this song to come out and for that reflection to come up,
right,
you
before
know?
Your 30th birthday, especially since you had that experience as a kid.
Definitely.
Thinking about, oh, maybe I'm not gonna.
Yeah. Gives me a lot of gratitude.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. For sure. So he goes on to say, "All the lost, the lust, dust to dust." And we kind of were talking about this earlier, Kayla, that dust to dust, already feeling like not being alive, feeling like dust or becoming dust after death, mm-hmm. and just feeling as if even if I were to die, I already kind of feel not dead, but you
right,
know,
just
like
not
there's
there.
Not much enjoyment in life right now, mm-hmm. you know, feeling numb. Not feeling like you're not living.
Yeah, so interesting. And it made us think of like the biblical meaning of like being dust before birth and dust after death. Just maybe tying in Tableau's verse here to RM's verse a little bit. He goes on to say, "Every night I put my shadows on, but you know how much I hate my status quo. Be positive." I know, like someone's telling him, be positive. That's in quotes. And then he ends that part with saying, "But you gotta know, my life is out of love." And so this kind of made us wonder, especially that lyric, "My life is out of love." It feels like, you know, made us question, is the love that he gives never fully reciprocated? Or he feels like he can't love, like he has none left to give. I felt like immediately, maybe he wrote this around the same time as Right Place, Wrong Person, and it connects to the song Out of Love, where he really talks about the lack of love in his life that he's able to give and receive. But Bethany, I really liked your take on it too.
Yeah. Out of love. I feel like, could it be that his life is entirely stemmed from love? Mm-hmm. Like, you got to know, my life is out of love. Like, it's created out of love. That's what it's made of.
I'm still here because of the love that I have.
Yes. Yeah. All of the love that's around me, that is the will to live. That's the will to go on, is that I have love from my parents, my friends, my fans, the support. The mention of someone saying, like, quote, be positive. I know. Like, I could see his family, friends, whatever, maybe saying be positive, trying to help
right.
in a way, but not knowing or really understanding what he's going through, which is like kind of the core of the song. Mm-hmm. But him acknowledging, you got to know, my life is out of love. Like, I understand that I am loved and there are people. And that's like kind of what, or I mean, I feel that he truly does have a lot of love to give mm-hmm. in a way too. So I guess I had a more, I don't know, positive take on it.
I love
my life is made out of love.
Yeah.
Like, you know, he wants us to know, you got to know that my life is out of love, but I still feel all of these really, you know, dark emotions, these demons that hide within me.
That he's just felt his whole life. Yeah. Like with RM, unlike with Tableau, where there's like that kind of rigorous and like religious household and that abuse and, you know, people condescending to him. We feel like, and what we know from RM is that he had a very supportive childhood home, you know, a good family. And so maybe he is just one of those people that just from a young age struggle with anxiety and depression
yeah.
and have, that's kind of like his lot in life. It seems like through his lyrics throughout his albums that is his lot in life. That's what he feels.
Yeah.
And I really love the idea. I love this interpretation that you're taking, that what he has and what he's still giving and why he's still living is because of the love around him, because his family, his friends, you know, his bandmates, the company, like they understand him and they're there to support him and work with him. And I love the idea that the fans have contributed that love to him in some way too, where he can see how much he's touched our lives mm-hmm. through BTS and through his solo work, and how much we appreciate and are mm-hmm. grateful and understand and can understand him through that art and that music that he puts out.
Absolutely.
This is just, I love that takeaway.
Going back to the fans too, just makes me think of, now I'm thinking of Trivia Love.
Oh,
the lyrics
God.
And Trivia Love. I live so I love.
Oh my God, make me cry.
Yeah.
Like, for real.
I live so I love.
Yeah.
Right.
So it feels like he is determined to continue living because of this love,
yeah.
because of the love that he knows, you know, like the close people in his life have for them.
And the love he has to give for them too.
Right.
Right.
Exactly.
Yeah. That gives him some kind of purpose.
Yeah.
I continue to live so I can love.
Yes. I love that. And it kind of goes along with the next line where he says, all the lessons learned already coming out of trust, because we know that he's been working on himself. We know that he's been to therapy. And so it feels like he's trusting himself. He's trusting therapy, family and friends, and that things are going to get better. He's journaling, he's doing the work, and little by little, hopefully, you know, he will get better and things won't be as dark and as difficult all the time. And
yeah.
you know, that forever rain can stop, and it yeah. won't just be putting an umbrella up, you know.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. And then he goes on to say, keep my mind steady, but it's hard to readjust. Nothing stops time, but the clock will turn to rust. And we really fixated on this lyric of nothing stops time, but the clock will turn to rust. Like, things will catch up to you no matter what. We really, I don't know, we were stuck on that time as such a human construct. And, you know, you can think about how much time has passed from an event, mm-hmm. but that doesn't mean that the pain from that is gone, or
yeah.
that it's not going to come back to you, or something is going to trigger it in you. And mm-hmm. suddenly it's like, you're right there again.
Yeah.
So that clock could be freaking broken, but it's still right. going to affect you. Something that could have happened 20 years ago
yeah.
Or 5 years ago or whenever, you know?
Yeah.
So we just really fixated on that.
I think it could also mean like they're talking about like this rain lasting forever, like this state of depression or this hurt, it feels like in an infinite amount of time, you know, but time keeps going on. But even if the time is still being measured, the clock still exists, and so the pain is still there, like
right.
you still physically bear it
right
now, even if the state of depression or whatever passes, there's still that like yeah, that injury, that hurt.
You've got to face it no matter what.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. So the next line, it says, Pain and Rain, they still stay the same. Got me looking for the exit just to entertain. Pain and Rain, think I'm gonna go insane. Gotta turn off my phone tonight. Oh, these lyrics are heavy. Mm-hmm. So especially the Pain and Rain, they stay the same. Got me looking for an exit just to entertain. I just feel that here is like the pain is so significant for him that it's hard for him to not think of ways to put an end to it. Mm-hmm. You know, like he's saying looking for an exit just to entertain as if it's not something like serious or whatever, but that he feels it so deeply that he kind of gives in to the pain a little bit, or, you know, looking for the exit just to
like entertaining the idea of suicide. Right. Like we'll just stop, like we can't dance around it, but it's like the first step to someone making that choice is starting to make a plan.
Right.
And that was like if you are suicidal and you're going to your therapist, one of the first things they would ask you is be like, well, what's your plan? Or do you have a plan?
Right.
And obviously, if you do, like, that's more cause for concern.
Yeah.
And so he's, like, entertaining it. He's thinking, should I? You know?
Right.
Yeah.
And he says at the end, gotta turn my phone off tonight, which is a way of him, like, knowing that this is where he needs to kind of cut off, like, not be searching for a plan or cutting off, like, access, I guess.
Right. To us, it wasn't turning his phone off so like friends and family can't reach him. Is more like turning his phone off so he's not on Google looking for and trying to decide on a plan and researching different ways to do it.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Oh, that was just like, damn. Like it was a heavy beginning and like a fucking hard way to end the verse too for his verse. Takes us through a lot of different emotions there.
Right.
They end out the song with the chorus and the pre-chorus again, but I love it when they're doing the chorus and pre-chorus, how they're sharing those lines back and forth. Mm-hmm. And even at the end of RM's verse, you know, like Tableau says, be positive. He's like that external voice, that supportive family or friend that's, you know, giving that. I just think that they work really well together this, with this back and forth, that mutual support through these tough topics.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
And there is this little glimmer of hope too. Like, I'm trying to stop the rain.
That's what they end with. I'm trying to stop the rain. A couple, you know, repeated there a couple times, which, you know, gives us the hope that they can, or that anyone who's listening that has felt the same way, you know, that you can stop the rain, you know. Mm-hmm. I think the important thing is that you're trying. Like, they haven't given up. They haven't given up on themselves. They haven't given in to the pain, that endless pain, you know.
They're fighting it. They're battling it.
They're fighting, right.
And they know that this is a battle that they have, and it's a battle they know that other people have. Mm-hmm. And so there's value in their honesty and truth in their lyricism here.
Yeah.
For sure.
I'm very grateful that they made the song, put it together, and released it. Could not have been easy for them to write these lyrics, really facing like some inner truths about themselves and a lot of vulnerability putting this out into the world. But it gives me so much perspective, and I've gone through a lot with my mental health and depression, and so to feel, I mean, it's like feeling a little bit of comfort through hearing other people go through the same thing.
Right.
And I appreciate that, you know, and I appreciate the like the growth that I've had, and it kind of helps me put that into perspective from hearing these lyrics. So I'm very grateful for this song.
I can really appreciate their honesty. I know we had a lot of armies and Iconics who reached out to us saying they were grateful for this song because they themselves have really struggled with either depression or trauma from their childhood, and that this provided them a way of feeling not so alone and understanding, you know, these are really difficult topics to discuss, and there's a lot of people that can be very closed off to talk about it. But when people do talk about it, it provides a lot of support and people feeling like
community.
I'm not alone in this. I can fight this. It can get better.
Yeah.
And some of your biggest role models, like RM and Tableau. I mean, Tableau is a role model to RM, and for them to both be honest with each other and feeling like the support, like, hey, I kind of understand.
Right.
Like I've been through I've felt this way before.
Yeah.
And getting to just, yeah, be able to talk with someone who really gets it.
Yeah. I think that's powerful what you just said of them being able to say to each other, I understand. Because we felt like listening to the song production-wise, it was feeling the feelings of being misunderstood and wanting to be understood by someone. So they at least know that they have each other that can understand. And I know that everyone who, you know, so many armies who listen to this song, they understand too.
Yeah.
So very beautiful, poignant kind of meaning and ending to that. Like we were talking about too, we're super grateful for something like this because we love having really good conversation where we can be introspective about these lyrics, and they never cease to amaze us of what they can write and what they can say and put into music. So it's a great song.
Yeah, we're not just here talking about what show we're watching on Netflix, you know, we're talking about what brings us meaning, the struggles we've been through.
So thank you, Tableau and RM, for making this and putting it
out. Getting a lot of true connection with people. So
very important.
Yeah.
Heavier episode topic here, but these, you know, these come up every once in a while. We hope that you stuck through it with us, and you know, we appreciate your thoughts on this topic as well. If this song affected you or struck you, you know, reach out to us on Instagram in our DMs, or you know, other Iconics who are commenting on the post of this episode.
Let's find that. We see on Spotify comments.
Let's find that community together and support each other. Before we wrap up here, we do want to say special thanks to our supporters on Patreon, and really, really join us for the Iconic Hangout on May 27th. Gin Jeopardy. Jeopardy is always such a blast. Don't worry about not knowing anyone. You'll get to know them. It is. It's so much fun. So join us there. And if you enjoyed this episode or any of our previous episodes, please let us know. Write us a review, rating, you know, and of course you can find links for all the things in the description.
Thanks for listening, and thanks for standing BTS.
Your Indiana Farm Bureau insurance agent is there to help guide you through each step of the insurance process.
Yeah, my agent's awesome. Jeff gives great advice, helps me figure things out. He's kind of like a dad to me.
Aw, that's great. Your agent
He's got such a dad vibe, you know?
Sure. And your agent can...
I kind of want to get him a tie. I wish there was like an insurance agent's day or something, you know, because he's not really my dad.
Get to know an Indiana Farm Bureau insurance agent, and you'll never have to go it alone. Indiana Farm Bureau Insurance. Let's insurance together.